path of the righteous man is beset on all sides by the iniquities of the selfish and the tyranny of evil men. Blessed is he who, in the name of charity and goodwill, shepherds the weak through the valley of darkness. For he is truly his brother's keeper and finder of lost children. And I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger those who attempt to poison and destroy my brothers. And you will know my name is the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon thee. Ladies and gentlemen, the Church of Laszlo has begun.
Yo!
Yo!
How are you, man?
I'm excellent. How
Great.
Are you,
It's Friday.
Man?
Life yes. is good.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Fridays are always good.
Yeah. I don't know what I'm going to do on the weekend, but, you know.
Doesn't matter. It's built in.
Yeah.
It's part of our DNA.
It feels better now than it does sometimes. You know, you got football and, you know.
Yeah, but you like that stuff, don't you?
That's what I'm saying. Like, oh, other times when it's not really football season, like, I don't really know what I'm going to do this weekend anyway. I'm not going to go anywhere.
Yep. I don't do anything. And if I do, there's a good chance of something that I'm not wanting
20,
to do.
I'd be like, man, I'm going to go out tonight.
That's why it still feels good now,
I'm
going
to blow off steam. But now I'm like, I'm not
going.
I think I got to pick up my kid from practice, and then I might cook hamburgers on the grill.
Yeah, that's great. But it's built in. Because you spent so many years, starts with school, not having to go to school, and then when you're in your 20s, you're going to go do stuff, even if you had to work
on Saturday
morning.
And kids don't realize, like, my kids didn't have school today for some reason.
I thought they didn't have school on Monday. Wasn't it Columbus Day or Indigenous
Friday
People's Day?
Friday or Monday of last week, and then today for some reason.
Okay.
Which is fine. But then I'm getting dressed, and I'm like, you got to work? I'm like, yeah, I got to work. And I'm like, because they see it like we did when we were kids. Like, oh, if I don't have school, you probably don't got to work.
Yeah. I wonder why they don't have school.
I think it's the end of the semester and the teachers do the planning.
It's one of those things that I would have gotten a half day for, and they're just giving them the whole day now. Gotcha. Yeah, I would say on the weekends there's a better chance that I go to bed earlier and wake up earlier than I do on weekdays.
I would say I'm a very involved dad.
Yeah.
Except school.
I was going to say, do you check to make sure that there's no school, or you just go with
them? I go with them.
Yeah.
I trust them. And then, but I'll know, like, if there was school, then they would send me an email. And be like, your kids had an unexcused absence.
Okay, that's what they do?
Yeah.
And you see those emails?
All the time.
Okay. All the time? Oh, like they miss? Oh,
if you they miss, I star them on our work email.
Okay.
I just hit star, so it gives me a notification.
Okay.
Yeah. But, like, the other day, I was picking them up from football practice, and I was going to be like, all right, see you guys later. To some of the other dads are picking them. They're like, oh, you're not going in for parent-teacher conferences? And I was like, there's parent-teacher conferences.
In high school?
No, middle school.
Oh, that's right. He's in middle school. That's right.
So okay. I was like, and they're like, oh, yeah, they're tonight. And so I just pulled up my phone. And I'm like, man, he's got all A's and B's. We're good.
That's how you do it?
That's really how I do it. I tell them all the time. Like, if you don't, you know, look, if you're doing something in your spare time, sports, theater, music, whatever.
Yeah.
And you're not just sitting around. You're doing something. I don't care what it is. And you got good grades. And you're not going to hear from me.
Yeah.
We're good. I might tell you to do some chores around the house, but they're not going to be much.
Maybe that's what my mom did. I don't really know. I mean, they went to most of those things, I think. I was just thinking, as you're talking about...
I went to them in elementary school. But
yeah, elementary school. But
I'm
I don't
like,
remember
middle school,
junior high,
high
was,
school,
like, what the
I don't...
rules were, or if we even had them in high school. We must have, but I don't remember. Oh, yeah, my mom did go to one in high school, at least. So we did have them in high school. But I remember thinking in school that playing hooky was impossible without getting caught. Like, you can't do this and not get caught. You will get caught. But now as I'm sitting here thinking about how they send you emails, I'm thinking about what they probably did when I was in school, which was call the house. If they didn't get an answer,
absolutely,
then that was really the end of it.
That was the end of it.
Unless I had a bunch of unexcused absences, and then they, during parent-teacher conferences, find out or whatever. But if I just took the day off and hadn't asked for permission and went to a Royals game, if they couldn't get a hold of my parents, then
I don't think
that probably was the end of it.
When I went,
it?
They didn't call.
They didn't even call?
No, they just put you down for unexcused, and if you had like 13 unexcused and you failed the class, that was it.
What if I just always thought that they called and they didn't even call?
For me, they never. I skipped enough class. I mean, they finally called my dad one time, and they said, you know, your son hasn't been into, I took a drama class, and the teacher was like, yeah, he hasn't been here for 45 days in a row. My dad was hot.
I'll bet.
Hot.
The Church of Laszlo.
The Church of Laszlo.
On 98.9 The Rock.
Yo!
Hey, did you win any money recently?
No, I forgot to bet yesterday.
You forgot to bet?
I forgot to bet, and I was going to bet Shohei Ohtani first at bat home run. I really was, but...
Which pays like what?
It would have paid pretty well.
I'm guessing it's got to be more than 10 to 1.
Pitch, but yeah, it would have been good.
Oh, you can break it down by first pitch or first at-bat?
Yeah, I think first at-bat.
Still, first at-bat, that should pay pretty well. But you didn't do it, huh? Did you watch baseball?
Of course, big Christmas.
I mean, the Guardians game...
It was unbelievable. Did you win money?
Yeah, I did.
Oh,
and,
you win.
And, you know, just small amounts here, small amounts there. Just make sure that I'm always moving up.
What was your bet?
Did the Guardians always win? I saw the Yankees were up, and they're up 2-0
yeah, they were
in the series.
They were about to be done with the series. They were a strike away. I think they were one strike away.
Best of five right now?
Wait, yeah, and they were going to win their third game, right? That would have been their third game.
They were up 2-0.
Oh, there's another second game. Yeah, they would have had to win another one.
Mm, seemed more exciting at the time when I thought this is the third game, but you're right, they only won. They have to win three. Their second game.
They were up 2-0. No, I saw the Yankees lead 2-0 in the series.
Okay, so then, yeah, but that's as of today, right?
No, I saw it when the game was on last night.
Oh, so maybe it was then. I think they might have been
it's a best of five.
Oh, it's a best of seven? I thought it was best of five.
The first 2 weeks are best of five. Now it's best of
seven. I thought the first week was best of three. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, best of three, best of five, best of seven.
Now it goes to seven?
Yeah.
Like this. Okay. So I thought that it was even closer. Still a crazy comeback, though. You're a strike away from winning the game.
Four wins.
A strike away. Thomas drills one into deep left center
field. That's going to hit the grand slam against
Judge
the Tigers, too.
On the run. He looks up. It's off the top of the 19-foot wall. Tying run will come to the plate once again.
Big Christmas. If you get a chance, and maybe you can put it up, Snowcone, listen to the Spanish version of that.
Okay.
Just the Spanish version
of Guardians
win. Home run.
Yeah.
Fry's watching. It is a walk-off home run. David Fry.
That was crazy.
Right. It's got to be the big Christmas one.
And I wanted.
Can we hear it? Listen to this. It's so good.
That's awesome.
It's great.
I mean, I wanted the Guardians to win because, you know, it's the Yankees. So I wanted them to win anyway. I don't know about you, but I wanted them to win anyway. But then on top of that, if they won, it paid me a lot better than the Yankees won.
Oh, okay,
so
good.
I was excited. I was like, this is insane. You get demoralized in a ball game, in a baseball game, when you're down, especially when you're down to a strike. You know, you're like, it would take a miracle. It happens. You can even say it happens all the time, but that's only because every team plays 190 games a year.
Yeah, right.
I mean, it does happen. But in that moment, the odds feel astronomically low.
They do.
And it just, you think the game is obviously over. But then when things start to happen, and you can start to get into their heads, and now you got someone on base, it's...
Against that reliever, man, that reliever. Money, both relievers.
He hasn't made any
Weaver
mistakes.
And Clase. Mm-hmm.
The Royals.
Best, great relievers, man, and they gave up runs last night. That's when it's even, like, you know, you're a baseball fan, all of us are, and, you know, when Clase, they're like, well, Clase's warming up in the bullpen, you're like, well, it's okay.
That's it, because now your time's out.
Right, yeah,
you had your chance.
So you ain't getting
anything.
That's
really how
right?
you feel. Yeah.
Weaver's in there. They're going to bring him out. You're like, well, this is over. And then it's not. When it's not, it's not. It's fun to watch.
Yeah. So I can't believe you didn't bet, and you would have bet.
I would have bet. I'm being honest, like, all honesty, I would have bet. Now, I might have added other stuff and not gotten it, but I was going to bet Ohtani. I'm like, he's due. He's going to do it. So.
Well. You better bet this weekend. I don't know when that next NASCAR race is. You already put that bet in.
I didn't.
Our boss told us. You didn't.
Is there baseball tonight?
I'll have to look. Why didn't you put in that bet when
he told us?
Well,
I'm going to.
Okay. That might not be till next weekend. Or I don't know how NASCAR works. It's their weekend. There's Formula One this weekend, I know, but I don't know if there's NASCAR this weekend.
Oh, I'm sure there is.
So, is it like every weekend? Is that how NASCAR works? Okay. Sure.
I think Oregon plays football tonight.
You could bet on that?
Yeah.
Friday night game?
Yeah.
Who will you? I mean, you're going to be.
It's Oregon Purdue. And I think the line's 24.5 or something.
Okay.
That's a big line.
You like that?
Boy. I like Oregon to win. I don't know if I love for them to cover.
Well, that's what I mean. Do you like having that big line
well,
there?
You
to
just
try and
came
cover?
Off a huge win against Ohio State. Massive, massive win. You got to fly all the way to Purdue. You know, Purdue's not great, but they are the spoiler makers. They always beat someone they shouldn't.
Okay.
That's what they call them.
That's a good cushion.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot
of
points.
You know, Would I be surprised if it was 38-20 and Purdue covers? Not at all.
Right.
You know, that's just such a big number.
Vegas is so good at this, though. It's, I don't know. Yeah, every time you think, well, that's ridiculous.
There you go. Dodgers, Mets at 4, Yankees, Indians at 7.
Okay. Well, let's go. I think it's the Guardians, by the way. I think they changed their name.
Oh, yes. I do.
I do, too. No, I do, too. You say Cleveland, and then Indians is just like it pops into your head because you said it.
I kind of gotten used to the Commanders, but I still haven't gotten used to the Guardians, I guess. But I'll do better.
I think the Commanders I've gotten more used to because I'm even more cognizant when I say it. That name always sounded pretty bad to me.
Right, sure.
Especially as I got older, like, is there an excuse for this? I don't see how there's an excuse for this. And I'm not saying that Indians wasn't bad. It's just that for whatever reason.
And of course, when you're like, look, I asked a lot of red-skinned people, and they said they were fine with it.
Right, that whole thing. Even as a child, I'm like, is this supposed to make me feel better? I don't know, because I've seen people, crying in the parking lot, and they seem pretty upset. So it does seem like that wouldn't work. But, what do I know? Oh, times were different. It's like, when you named the team, times were different.
And I like it, too. I don't mind the Guardians. I like it when they call them the Guards.
Yeah.
I think it sounds good.
It just takes a little getting used to when you're older. Yeah. That's all. Doesn't make you...
Well, that doesn't make you racist.
Racist for other reasons. But that in and of itself doesn't make you racist.
I just have said it for so long. But
and somebody might have even...
I will do better.
...texted it. We'll do better. So, you're betting Oregon. I think what you should do then is just use that
DJ
line.
Uncle Jess, use that... I word.
What?
Indian.
That's what I wanted.
Right, in the text, I just read it. So.
Yeah, you know, it happens.
I'll make a mental note.
If you read an article in Sports Illustrated and it said the Cleveland Indians last night had a great... You wouldn't stop to go, wait a second. Probably not, because your brain's just so used to it.
Yeah.
But so tonight, you're betting Oregon. I think you should use that line to your advantage.
Take just Purdue plus the points?
Yes, just use the points.
Yeah.
Well, you said it's 24?
Well, let me look. I'll look for you. It might be 28 or something, man. That's a lot.
That seems like a lot.
It was just a lot that I was like, man, I don't know. That's a lot of points to cover. You got to fly 2,000 miles. You're playing on a short week. You just beat Ohio State.
And if they end up covering that, like, exactly, you know, by a point, you just go. That's when you go, someone is calling down to the sidelines and saying, hey, you got to get in there. You got to score again.
That's the one thing I love. I mean, Dan Lanning, friend of the show, the problem against betting against him is that he could be up 20 and still go for two.
Yeah.
The guy's always just, up by 15 and go for it on 4th and 3. You're like, dude, slow down. But he's always aggressive. Is great, but.
Weren't you telling
us? Not when you got the underdog.
Right, and you need those points.
Yeah.
Weren't you saying that he came out this week and said that the...
29.5 right
now. That's a lot. That's a lot.
30
they
got
to beat him by 30. That's a lot of points. I don't know how bad Purdue... I mean, I don't know, but that seems like a lot. So, weren't you saying that Lanning came out and said that in last week's game... That that whole thing that people were talking about online about the end of the game seeming a little weird.
Timeout and too many players.
Hey, you had too many men on the field.
That night, he basically said, I did it. He didn't say, we did this on purpose. He said, well, coming out of the timeout, and then he discussed the coverage and that, he's always, one of his quotes is always, the details matter. Every detail. He's just that kind of guy. Every little thing. And he's like, some of these things we practice, they don't come up very often in college football, but this one did.
Well, it makes sense. You found something where the punishment does not outweigh the benefit.
Exactly.
The benefit. So you go with the punishment.
And people are like, it makes me mad, I guess. So, so now they've changed the rule.
Of course.
Right, right. Like right
Spencer
after he did
asked
it.
Me the other day, but why wouldn't they want it? I said, they'll change it.
He, I have heard Ohio State fans, which, whatever. They're horrible,
they're whiny
horrible
bunch.
People. They
whiny,
are.
Whiny,
like,
whiny
everybody
bunch.
Cheats against them. Yeah. That's why they lose. But, they were like, he's cheating, But he took the penalty.
Yeah.
For what it was.
Yep.
Right? And so I always look at it, and I know there's people who argue with me on Twitch or whatever, and say, well, it's the spirit of the rule, or he cheated. It is the same exact thing. I want you to listen to me. It is the same exact thing as when a cornerback is beat and he grabs a wide receiver and says, I would rather give up 15 yards than him blow by me and get a touchdown right now. It's the same thing.
Take the penalty.
It happens on every play. It happens with left tackles who leave too early. It happens on holding every play. I would rather get called for holding right now than to have him kill my quarterback.
Yes.
It happens on every play. What he was saying is, I'd rather get caught for 12 men right here than give up a touchdown or let them in the field goal range.
Crackman on Twitch said NCAA changed that loophole on Tuesday, and I checked. Yep. They did change it.
Yep, yeah, they did.
Which is what you figured might happen. If they go, hey, are people using this to their advantage? And if you don't know, if you want to look it up, I think Lazo found that one of the Ryans actually came up with this name.
It was
the
called
Polish defense.
The Polish defense. Buddy, the dad.
Okay,
he had it in a playbook like 30 years ago.
Yeah.
And his thing was put in three people.
Yeah, why not put in as many, you know, just put in a bunch. We'll put in a bunch of extra players, and then we'll take the penalty. Yeah. We'll prevent the touchdown, and they get, you know, 5 yards and whatever it was. And the clock keeps running. That's the important thing.
Right.
So, well, Danny Lanning's the best coach in football.
Well, I watched this thing with these coaches who go over game tape or whatever, and this one guy, Al Borges, was like, the guy that was talking to him said, well, you know, he did that on purpose. And he's like, well, we don't know if he did that on purpose or not. It worked out in his favor. And the guy was like, no. He said afterwards, he did it on purpose. And he goes, wait, he had that planned, and we know that he did it on purpose? He's like, yeah. He's like, well, give him the coach of the year.
Exactly.
He's like, literally give him the coach of the year. He's like, I don't care if they lose the rest of their games. Yep. He literally won that game for them. He out-coached their ass.
It does take some getting used to.
The Church of Laszlo.
Okay, everybody just calm down.
On 98.9 The Rock, it's time to doom scroll.
You don't know, could kill you.
Murder hornets.
Corpies infected monkeys.
The only news that matters with the most trusted name in the business. This is Headlines with Slim Fast on the Church of Laszlo.
Yo. Read the news, Mr. Big.
Yeah, that's what we're doing here. The news. Sound going? Did you catch that?
I did.
Yeah, that's
you
what they call
say
me.
That.
No, I'm asking if he knows that that's what you call me now. That's what everyone calls me now.
Uh-huh.
The whole fam.
They do?
Yep. Everybody. Ever since you started it, it's taken off.
Your mom calls you that?
Yep. Everybody's calling me that.
Well, your mom's always called you that, right?
No, she hasn't.
Oh, I thought she did.
No. She's called me a lot of things. But this is a new name. I did get a text from her yesterday. It was a little cryptic. Something about something we were saying on the air. She spelled my name wrong, which I thought was weird. Then I found out that it was actually a text that one of her friends had sent her.
Oh, I see.
And this friend is like, what's going on? I just tuned into them.
And?
And you need to talk to him about voting or something like that, because he seemed very confused. And Laszlo said that he really liked it when Trump stood and listened to music for 35 minutes.
Yeah.
And I was like, what's the problem? Why does she not know how to spell my name? There's only like two ways to spell it.
Well,
I'm not
allowed to like that he stood and listened to music for a while.
I was confused.
I like to listen to music.
I don't know. I think maybe she was concerned that I didn't know who the other candidate was, but look, I got a lot of stuff I got to go through here.
Yeah, it's a big plate.
There's a lot of, when you wake up in the morning, you can't just go, give me news.
No,
I have to sift through it and try it, because I got to bring it to you guys, and I have to know a little bit about it in case you have follow-up questions.
Right,
I don't know who the second candidate is. Excuse me. I do know who Taylor Swift is.
Yes, I do too.
And I know that tonight is the night, baby. She's kicking off the last leg of her Eras Tour. How long has this been going on, and why is it constantly in the news?
Huge tour.
They literally now just say, you know, there used to be that, like, does Taylor Swift stimulate economies when she goes to the local towns? Now it's just, she absolutely does, and this is how many more towns, and here's how many more places she can save before the tour is finally
Taylor
over.
The Taylor takeover has touched down once again in the U.S. The final leg of the earth-shaking Eras Tour kicks off in Miami tonight, already bringing in more than $1 billion across 131 shows in 45 cities on 5 continents.
Okay, I would have guessed more than a billion just at that many shows. I don't know how that stuff works.
I don't know either.
Are they just saying,
how many shows?
How many did they say there at the end? They said over $1 billion.
Bringing in more than $1 billion across 131 shows.
131 shows.
Yeah, she does like three
to four
city.
Shows every night.
Yeah.
I mean, in every city.
She does Friday, Saturday, Sunday. She does every weekend.
That's it?
Wow.
Yeah. In the same place?
No, like, she goes to a new city, does three shows
on
the weekend.
I'm saying, in the same city. She does Friday, Saturday, Sunday, all in the same city.
So she played Arrowhead here 3 times.
Wow.
She did?
Yeah.
She played 3 nights in a row at Arrowhead?
Yep.
Wow.
Wow.
She does everywhere. Sometimes 4. I think she did London. I think she did 4 there.
Who's the second biggest star as far as being able to sell tickets?
No one's
Garth Brooks? Oh,
no one's
Pitbull.
Near that.
Pitbull. Okay. No one's even close?
Pitbull. There's a number 2, but there's so
right. I'm just curious who that is. Laszlo says Pitbull. That makes sense. He's got his own football team.
Yeah.
He's got
his own play
college.
There every day.
Yeah, he's got his own university.
He can play 30,000 nights in a row in a stadium.
Yeah.
So if try someone to beat that, Taylor Swift.
If anyone else wants to play there, they have to pay Pitbull.
Yeah.
Pitbull. So, you know, hope you like Pitbull if you want to play in Miami, because he kind of owns that town.
Yes. Pitbull's the next biggest star.
Yeah, so if you want to catch her, I guess go to Miami. I don't know. How many more shows did they say? How long has this been going on? Unless Pitbull's playing.
It's been like 2 years.
It's been 2 years?
It feels like it.
It does feel like it, but I thought, well, that's not possible. You can't have a tour that lasts 2 years.
Last summer, me and Bomb Pop went to Union Station. Unknowingly, it was the time she was in town, and so there was Swifties everywhere, and they had their little signs set up and stuff.
At Union Station?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Well, they had, you know, they put those, like, the big sign in the lobby of, like, you know,
no,
that you get pictures in front of.
No.
Mm-mm.
For, like, Instagram. This one just said, like, Eras Tour or something. And the line to get pictures in front of it was, like, wrapped
to
around.
To get a picture
of the cardboard thing?
Cardboard stand-up?
It wasn't a cardboard stand-up thing. It was, like, the...
She was there, like, Santa Claus?
The big letters, you know, that light up and they have decorations.
Oh, sometimes they say, like, Casey Cheeks.
The things that they just respell. Yeah. And so they made it spell Eras, Taylor Swift, and people were lined up.
I don't know how to describe it.
I know what you're talking about. It's just big neon lights.
Yeah.
On lights instead of like Eras Tour.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was a good picture for Instagram. And so the line was huge.
Wow.
Did you guys get a picture of it?
No.
Man, oh man.
I asked if he wanted to and he saw the line and was like, yeah, no.
Does he like Taylor Swift?
He does. Yeah.
If you got daughters, you must feel immense amounts of pressure because all of their friends, I say all, maybe all, a lot of their friends are going. I know my brother had to take his daughters to see the movie. Wasn't there a movie?
Okay, here you go. First Eras Tour is March 17th, 2023.
Okay.
In Arizona.
Wow.
A year and a half.
It's a long tour. But you know what I mean? If you find out that Taylor Swift, you can't have your kid be the only kid who didn't go see Taylor Swift. She's like every other girl at school seeing Taylor Swift.
Just lie.
I've never seen
it. Like everybody else who says they went to a concert.
Well, yeah, tell
I'll get you a shirt. You wear it tomorrow. You're not going to see any of your friends there. It's a big stadium.
You don't have any friends, right?
So whatever.
So don't worry about it.
We'll get you a shirt. We'll take a picture in front of the stupid Eras sign.
Yeah.
And then just say you're there.
But we'll get AI to make it look like you're backstage. I don't care. We can do whatever we want.
We'll steal pictures from other people's Instagrams from other parts of the country and post them.
It's either that or pay thousands of dollars for me to take you to this stupid concert, which, no offense to Taylor fans, I'm speaking as the guy who doesn't want
to
go, which
would
not be me. I'm not saying that I wouldn't want to go. I'm saying that dad and that hypothetical didn't want to go.
No.
Yeah, I'm sure it's a great, great tour.
Well, I'm sure it's fun. I'm sure it's good.
Yeah, I'm sure she does quite a thing.
I'm just saying, if you didn't have the money,
it's a lot of money.
That's what you have to do. You have to fake it.
Yeah.
That's just how it goes.
If I had a daughter, I feel like she'd want to go see Korn anyway. That'd be more.
Be a real whore.
Be my daughter. She's like, I want to go.
Daughter,
see Korn.
Be a real whore.
My daughter's
she
cool.
Had big pants on. Like, I want to go to Korn. You can't come with me, Dad.
No, she won't. We go together because we're close like that.
More
we
like
share
goth
that stuff.
Kids, right.
And we, you know,
you're like,
what? Jesus.
You slid her.
Jesus.
Go get her.
She
kid.
Doesn't want to go see Taylor Swift. See, this is why taking your daughter to see Taylor Swift is so important. If you don't, people just assume, I guess, that she's being ridden like or as a even know. The opening statements in the Delphi murder case had begun, and Snoko, and your job a couple days ago was to look into this whole thing and figure out if this Richard Allen guy, which is the suspect they've arrested, is guilty or not, because we had some people on Twitch who said, you know, I've looked at this and I'm not so certain they got the right guy. If you don't know the story, had a couple of teenagers in Indiana. These girls were they went missing and their bodies were found in a ravine. They'd been on a walk. When they went through these girls, went through their stuff, they found one of the girls had a phone that had a picture of a guy crossing this bridge, this train bridge, this trestle, whatever it is, a bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of hard to tell, but you could see what kind of clothes this guy was wearing. And then she also had recorded audio of this guy telling her and her friend to go down the hill, which is where they eventually were killed, was at the bottom of the hill. So you could actually hear audio. She had the, you know, wherewithal to think, I need to record this because this guy scares me. I'll take a picture as he's walking over here. And once he started walking down the hill, she thought, I'm going to record this guy. So that was the main evidence they had. It was unsolved for quite some time. I don't know how long. Twitch will tell me. Twitch.tv/Church of Laszlo if you'd like to join us. So they get this Richard Allen guy. They say he's our guy. And they've done jury selection this week. And now the opening statements are happening. And there are some people who think, man, they may have just been under a lot of pressure to find someone, and they found a guy who looked good enough. I don't know if that's the case. That's why I asked Snowcone to look into it for me.
In Indiana, a small town's terror is finally going to trial with opening statements today in the Delphi double murder case. 52-year-old Richard Allen has pleaded not guilty to the 2017 stabbings of best friends 13-year-old Abby Williams and 14-year-old Libby German. Their bodies found near a bridge along a popular walking trail. The community haunted ever since.
So apparently, SoCon, they've revealed some new details today.
Correct you real quick. It wasn't a picture of him. They took a video of themselves walking, and you could see him in the background.
Oh, right. But the police released the, as a still shot. Yeah, they released this picture. Because that was, as you watched the video, it was a very brief, grainy video from an older phone. So they kind of took, okay, here's the best image we've got. And that was the image they put on billboards and said, hey, do you know this guy? So they've got the suspect now, and their trial is beginning. But I'm very curious what these theories are that people brought up on Twitch saying, well, I don't know. Look, if you there's nothing scarier. Well, there's probably, you know, getting murdered as a kid would be scarier. But it is kind of a scary scenario when you've got cops who have immense pressure on them to solve a crime from the entire country.
Yeah.
And you've got their own bosses sometimes saying, just find somebody. Solve it. Just get it done. And if you find someone who looks good enough, we've seen those cases in the past where they go, we've got them. I feel like it used to happen a lot more before DNA evidence. That basically, you know, go back and look at pre-DNA murder trials. And like, unless they got his fingerprint, it's just eyewitnesses, right? And you hope that they're remembering it correctly or telling the truth. But now, that can still happen. If you've got enough pressure, and I don't know if they have DNA, if they're going to be able to match this guy's DNA. Maybe someone can tell me. Twitch.tv/Church of Lazo. We have to take a break.
Oh, but I wanted the veteran thing. I've been zoned out this whole time waiting for the t-shirt thing.
I'm going to tell you about it.
God damn it.
That's for you, and I've got a big one for Snowcone.
So you a big
do
one
you remember the man who said, I'm not the rapist you're looking for?
You remember that guy?
What a low blow.
Yes, this guy who
Nicholas
said...
Nicholas Rossi.
Oh, yeah, I like that guy. Yeah. The guy in a wheelchair?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I like that guy.
COVID, yeah, well, he went to court this week, too. He had some interesting things to say yesterday. I'll tell you about it next.
Do we get the religious tax break for this?
That's a great point.
The Church of Laszlo on 98.9 The Rock.
It's time to doom scroll.
You don't know, could kill you.
Murder hornets.
Corpies infected monkeys.
The only news that matters with the most trusted name in the business. This is Headlines with Slim Fast on the Church of Laszlo.
Yo. All right, what's going on?
Well, I jinxed myself now because
I know you screwed
if
up.
If I just left it, the only way I ever make any money with these gambling apps is by accident.
Right.
So that's the only way that was going
to
work.
But now
that I
set Purdue to beat Oregon straight up.
I thought I was taking the points.
Because you're like, $20 wins me $380. I'm like, that is not this. I need to go to your app.
Yeah.
And then I realized you just bet them to beat them straight up.
So I refunded it.
Did you give
Well, I was going to. And then I was like, oh, well, with the points, I didn't pay jack squat.
Mm-hmm.
So then I was like, well, maybe I should have just left it. Laszlo says they're the spoiler makers.
They are the spoiler makers.
But then I thought, too late. You already jinxed it by...
Yeah, but now maybe you jinxed it by cashing out, then they're going to win.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But if I do it, then they won't. So I'm screwed either way here.
Then I'd say do it.
Well, you should do it. I mean, it's pretty...
Well, I didn't screw up my thing.
Well, I'm saying you could also throw
now you're
10 bucks
to get
on
me
that. I'm just saying you could also throw 10 bucks on there. And
I got Oregon minus the points and some people getting touchdowns.
Yeah, it was a little parlays. I don't know who any of these college players are, though. That's the problem.
Look at the top.
Just see. Look, I mean, it's pretty obvious when they say these people pay the least. I'm guessing they're the best players. Yeah, so, right. Oh, you wanted to hear about the veteran
lady.
Right? Okay. So this woman is in the Bay Area. She's on a Delta flight, and she's got a T-shirt on. Now, if you see the T-shirt, it's here. I saved a picture of it just for you, Laszlo. It says, "Do not give in to the war within. End veteran suicide."
Okay,
that's what it said.
What's wrong with that?
Well, I don't know. I think she'd like to know the same thing. Apparently, the flight attendant said that it promotes violence, but here's her talking about...
A male flight attendant was saying, ma'am, and I was looking around like, who's he talking to? And it was me, and he said, you need to get off the plane. And I was like, what did I do? He said, that shirt you're wearing is threatening. I said, are you kidding me? I'm a Marine Corps vet, and he said, I don't care about your service. That shirt you're wearing, the only way you're going to get back on the plane if you take it off right now.
But she wasn't wearing a bra.
I turned around, and so he couldn't see the front of me, and took the shirt off and put the sweatshirt on.
By the way, she talked for quite a while, and I cut some of that, but when she explains her veterans, her service, and then explains her veteran friend that she's on the way to visit her, or just visited, something like that, and she claims that he says, I don't care about your service after that.
So what... airline was
it? It says it's Delta. According to NBC News, it was Delta. And She did manage to get the shirt turned around, whatever, but then when she got back on the plane, she had paid extra for the exit row, for extra leg room. And when she got back on the plane, I guess they told her she couldn't sit there, so she had to sit in the back of the plane.
Why?
I don't know. I don't know. It just that's literally all the information that I have here. Other than, like I said, she does talk some more about her service, but the article tells you basically everything you just heard.
What is that guy thinking?
I don't know. She said she was in the Marine Corps for 22 years and worked
and that
for the Air Force
just
for
15. Says, hey, when people get out, veterans have a tendency to be suicidal.
Yeah, it's a huge problem.
Right, it's a huge problem. Let's help them.
Yeah.
What?
What did he think it said? Like, just don't use the word suicide? How old? I know that, like, kids, now suicide's a bad word. They took it off of TikTok and some of the social media apps. So, but this person's old enough to be a flight attendant. I can't even imagine, really, that even kids think, oh, that's such a naughty word. You can't say it. Especially in context of we've got to end this.
Right.
We've got to do something.
I'm sure that shirt goes to, when you buy that shirt, it goes to, I'm going to buy one.
It says the incident follows previous controversies involving Delta's dress code guidelines, many of which involve asking women to cover up or change their clothing, which you could have just gotten rid of Delta and said airlines, different American carriers. Because we've been doing this a long time. We've probably had 100 stories over the years of someone getting kicked off a flight for their shorts.
They got to quit giving stewardesses. They're going to keep getting into problem. So if I was in a boardroom with Delta right now, I'd say, first off, we're firing that guy. Second off, we are going to buy 10,000 of those shirts with all the money. And for the next month, all of our stewardesses are going to wear that shirt.
Yeah.
That's first and foremost.
That's Laszlo's crisis management right there.
That's the first and foremost that we're going to do. Second, what we're going to do is, and I will use baseball as an example, as I always do, we're going to go to, like, Little League Baseball. If that stewardess thinks there's an issue and she or he needs to kick someone off the plane, they're going to call the white hat. The white hat is the head umpire in charge with all those diamonds in Little League Baseball. Who comes, both coaches explain exactly what happened, and then they make a decision. For every airport that Delta has from now on, we're going to have two white hats on duty. If you want to kick someone off, call the white hat. He's going to have a Delta white hat on. He's going to come. He's going to listen to it.
Yeah.
And then he'll make the decision.
Challenge the calls.
Yes.
I like it.
Yep. We're not kicking anybody off, and you do not have the authority to start kicking people off planes. You don't.
It's so hard
to
imagine.
If you have a problem, call the white hat.
I like it.
Right? Ding, ding, ding. Delta, we need a white hat at flight 326. Dude drives his little cart down, walks in, and then there's two people arguing. He handles it.
That's it.
He decides.
Yep.
And that
just gives you the signal.
Right.
She can say, safe.
Or, gotta go.
Yep,
right?
That's it. I like it. They need to do something because it is so hard to imagine an adult having this conversation with another adult. An employee of an airline saying, that shirt promotes violence. Wait, what? No, it does just the opposite. Also, to imagine a flight attendant saying, I don't care about your service.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, why even say that?
I don't know. And I don't want to doubt what this woman is saying. She's got this story and she seems quite upset. But God, it's hard to imagine. And you just like, did you actually say all those things? You actually made her sit in the back of the plane afterwards? It delayed the flight for everyone. So she missed her connecting flight because they delayed the flight over this T-shirt. How crazy is that? Meta, the owners of your children and Instagram and Facebook, they've launched new protections for sextortion. You guys know what sextortion is?
No, but I'm gonna
wait till I tell you what it is before you say that you're into it.
I was going to say, I was going to make a sign that says I'm against it.
Okay. Sextortion, I think, is like a revenge porn kind of a thing.
Oh, no, then I'm going to look it up on campus.
Send me some pics, and then, hey, you better send me some money. I'm going to tell everyone about these pics that you sent me.
Meta unveiling new protections on Instagram to combat sextortion. here's how to take control of the situation if you need help.
The company placing this PSA in Instagram feeds and launching new features to protect against accounts with, quote, scammy behavior. Meta says it will make it harder for suspicious accounts to request to follow teens, and users will be notified if the account they are messaging with is in another country.
Okay, so they can flag these suspicious or fishy accounts. And if someone's trying to follow your kid from another country, that all seems pretty obvious. Why can't they use some of this technology with the dating apps? Because I hear people who use dating apps constantly complain about all the bots that they get. And I've got friends who've been on dating apps for a long time and talk about these bots will send me pictures of the conversations.
Dating apps are using the bots.
They are?
That's
what I was going to ask you if you conspiratorially thought. Well, is there like evidence of it, or you just believe that?
No, it's just like well known.
Why would they do that? Just to make the person
and
feel like they're getting some matches,
and to see more people on there.
And what all do the? But don't the bots end up doing similar things, like asking for
sometimes
credit card info, or is it mostly just?
It's usually, let's talk on Telegram, or you know,
okay.
Basically, the first thing they're trying to do is get you off that site and onto something.
Something else, and then maybe someone can. But
the apps use it just to inflate their numbers to make sure you're always seeing someone. You know,
it looks like you're getting matches.
Yeah,
I mean that makes sense to me. Snowcone, I know you watched the documentary and maybe the Dateline about the Oliverdi guy. This is a guy, 37 years old.
A happy family.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's him. This is a guy who seems like a pretty bad dude. Some serious accusations against this guy. He's a rapist, you know, allegedly. He's a rapist, and he sounds like a bad dude. And he fled the country. I mean, let's just be honest here. He fled the country, and so then they go looking for him. The feds go looking for him. They find him, but suddenly he's in a disguise, and he's now developed a accent. I don't remember. It sounds English. I'm not sure, but I think he said he was Irish. Anyway, he's got an accent. He's wearing full, you know, European clothing. Like, he's got the top hat, and he's got new glasses. But he also said that he'd been in the hospital with COVID, and so now it's hard for him to speak. And he's got, like, a respirator on all the time trying to get supplemental oxygen. And he had also met a woman. And I can't remember if they got married or if they were just dating. I thought they got married, but the two of them would do these interviews. They were in the documentary. They did these crime magazines like Dateline in 2020. And he denied with, you know, bold face to the cameras, I'm not this guy you're looking for. It's not me. And people are like, look, it's obviously you. Here's the pictures. He even had tattoos. The suspect had these tattoos on his arm. They go to look, and this guy, first of all, he wasn't willing to show his arm to a lot of people. Then they see that he's got some of the tattoos, and some of them he was in the process of removing. I mean, you're caught. That's it. You're caught.
Yeah.
But he refused. Well, finally, this week, as of yesterday, actually, he has admitted that he was lying, and he has admitted that he was using different names.
I am not Nicholas Oliverdi, and I do not know how to make this clear.
He promised he was Arthur Knight, an Irish orphan whose health
Irish orphan,
was failing.
That's right.
I do not prefer to be called Arthur Knight. I am Arthur Knight.
Oh,
his wife gets so upset. Oh, no, now you've upset him. Oh, I can't believe you've done this. Snowcone's big thing is, was she in on it? I don't know that we'll ever know unless they've said, and I just can't find that information. But it's not like they care about him, right? He's the rapist. He's the guy that the feds care about catching and arresting and sentencing.
Sure.
The wife, I don't think they're going to try and make an international case out of her, but I will always be curious. But yeah, yesterday in court, they asked him, you know, have you used other names? What other names have you gone by? And he admitted it.
Mr. Knight, can you also tell us other names that you've gone by previously?
Previously, I was born with the name Nicholas Oliverdi, and in 1996, I would have that surname changed by my stepfather. When it became Rossi, and I reverted to using it, Alberti, in 2008.
You know, Lazo, he's one of these guys that I don't think you've seen the documentary, but one of these guys who he makes up a story about his childhood to begin with.
Right.
And then he gets into politics. Like, I'm a guy who suffered a lot of abuse as a child, and I went through the system, and I think he said he'd gone through different orphanages and was abused at these different orphanages. And so he becomes a fairly successful kind of local politician, regional. And there were people who thought this guy might have a political future because he's got this story. And when he goes over to the UK and they find him and they're asking, aren't you this dude? And he's saying, no, he uses a very similar story. Because if you say, well, where are your parents? He can just say, I was an orphan. This is the orphanage I was at. He was good at making crap up. But eventually, it was just too much crap. And you're in another country. Now, he's still going with the COVID thing. That's why he's talking like this. So I guess he's saying that he really did. And so maybe that was the one true thing, that he did have COVID. But he's finally admitted, Snow Cone, you can rest easy now.
The Church of Laszlo.
The Church of Laszlo. On 98.9, The Rock. The Rock. The Rock.
So, why is independence on Vice News?
The new hotness.
New hotness, old hotness, always been the hotness. That hotness is here to stay. So,
I'm going to need some pickle shots, Snow Cone.
Yeah, I told you to keep that car warm.
I'm sure you did.
I did.
So,
it's been running for the last hour.
And a pack of smokes.
Try to imagine, Laszlo, that your kid,
if you can,
your kid is 7 years old again. You remember seven? I don't know if you do.
Yeah,
no.
I do.
But you can get an idea. What is that, first grade? Probably. I think second.
Second grade.
No, I thought you were six. Well anyway,
you can be
first,
seven in the first grade. But
first
seven,
or second grade. Second grade. Yeah, okay. So 7 years old. And
this student was second grade.
You come home from work, and your kid says, I crashed the school bus today. What's your first thought there?
Sweet.
What do you think?
You stole it?
That's,
you got on the bus and learned how to drive it and stole it?
That would be my first thought.
We're going to be in a lot of trouble, but it's sweet.
You must have gotten on the bus and the driver wasn't on there yet, or the driver got off and you decided to get behind the wheel. I'm not thinking medical emergency.
Well, I'm not either. You got home, so.
Yeah, so here you are.
Now I just need to know, like, you got in it and pulled the gear and it hit another car or something. I can't believe nobody's called me yet. Did you get away with it? Did you run out and nobody knows now?
Well, there's nothing really to get away with because, see, the driver of the bus allowed your kid to drive the bus as some sort of training.
Oh, what kind of training? For
emergencies. You know, emergency preparedness.
In case something happens to me, I'm going to need you, little Johnny. Go ahead and jump behind this wheel like your Keanu Reeves in Speed.
Yeah. This girl's name was Alana.
Yeah.
And
you go, get it, Alana.
The bus driver asked for volunteers, and I guess Alana, you know, she raised her hand. She volunteered.
Thanks,
who wouldn't?
Man.
If they're saying, hey, who wants to volunteer to be behind the wheel of this bus?
Me.
I feel like there's a lot of kids raising their hand in that moment. But she allegedly rose her hand and said, yeah, I'd like to do this. So the bus driver's trying to teach her what to do in case of a medical emergency. Now, they learned other things, like she, I guess, talked to them about how to get the doors open, how to break out the windows, how to get the windows down or break them out, something like that. But the main thing here, and the reason that it's making the news, is that this child was supposedly instructed on what to do behind the wheel. So according to the mom of this little girl, she says, I was blown away. It was actually my child that was instructed to be behind the wheel of the bus. That's her talking to Fox 4.
Yeah, me too. And I'm like, you know, hey, did you at least give him a couple drinks? I mean, he's going to be nervous. Got to take the edge off.
Take the edge off.
Right. Like a couple roadies.
They say that Three Trails Elementary alerted parents that there
had been... don't drive without a couple.
That's right. That the elementary
driving's
school...
Driving's crazy dangerous. Nerve-wracking.
They apparently, the school had alerted parents that there had been a minor incident involving your child's bus during drop-off this morning, where one bus slowly rolled into another while on school grounds. The situation was handled promptly and with care. So that's the message they get. Hey, minor incident. It was your kid's bus. Bus slowly rolled into another bus. It was on school grounds. Taken care of. That's it. What they failed to do, according to this article, is to give details about the child or the driver. Who was it, right? Like, what are the details? Why was my kid driving this bus? But the 7-year-old and the transportation supervisor confirmed to Fox 4 that the bus driver had been giving students instructions on what to do if there were a medical emergency with the driver. She allegedly showed the kids how to open the bus's windows and doors and showed them how to drive. The girl said the driver asked for the volunteers, and like I said, she raised her hand.
Well, she won't be able to drive for another 9 years legally, but parents of an independent second grader say she's already had her first crash.
Her parents say she was behind the wheel when one bus crashed into another bus on school grounds.
Why would they let a woman drive anyway? Like, what were they expecting? You said it was Alana, not like Joe, right?
Oh, for the volunteer?
Yeah.
Well, your bus driver was a woman a lot of
this
times,
this explains
right?
a lot.
Well, that was Fox 4. They've been covering this story. I guess other outlets picked up on it as well.
When all the kids raised their hand, they should have said, like, well, we meant the guy.
Well, I think
there's
it's
gonna
a
be
woman.
A lot, ladies. There's gonna be a lot of pressure. It's gonna be nerve wracking. Let's find a dude who can handle this.
Well, this girl gets behind the wheel, and it says here, she told me to press the thing, and when I pressed it, it made the whole bus go backwards, she said. Then I pressed the gas button, and it stopped out of nowhere.
Look, buses have a gas button?
Well, she's probably thinking of the pedal, but...
Well, she's probably not tall enough to get a pedal. Does it have a gas button? I've never driven a bus before.
Unless she means like the... Yeah, I think she's got to mean the pedal.
I don't know, is it like a go button and a stop button?
She's got to be talking about the pedal. I don't know how. Maybe if she's standing up behind the wheel, then she can reach the accelerator and the brake.
Maybe they have handicapped people, though. You know what I'm saying?
Maybe.
Handicapable, whatever I'm supposed to say. I don't know. Cleveland Indians, whatever.
So this girl.
I'm not having a great day today when it comes to wokeness, and I apologize.
I'm sure the pickled things will help. So her 10-year-old sister was also on the bus. She says, quote, when it happened, we hit the back of the bus.
Well, how old was the sister?
She didn't say nothing. 10.
And 7?
Yeah.
Why not take the 10-year-old?
10-year-old, I know.
Is there 16-year-olds on the bus?
Right, that's what I don't know. It's an elementary school, okay, so I'm assuming not. But when it happened, she says,
it's independent,
hit the bus.
So maybe.
Laszlo. Stop.
Come on, that was a good joke.
It's really just kind of the same joke, just over and over.
But that was like in context. It was.
Yeah, okay. So she says, we hit the bus and nothing happened. The girl's mother was up in arms about the incident. Is that understandable? You're a parent. Would you be up in arms if you find out your 7-year-old was put behind the wheel of a bus?
Yeah. I mean, up in arms is maybe a little strong, yes, it would be more than mildly irritated.
Yeah.
And I would want some real conversation about why this was happening and why is my 7-year-old driving a bus.
So are you pissed? Because moms get up in arms, guys get pissed.
You're
a little pissed.
But I think before I'm wildly pissed, I'm inquisitive.
Yeah.
Like, what are we talking about here? What is happening?
Yeah. Well, so this mom says, look, if I didn't know that they had kids.
Like, I don't know.
This,
is it like, you know, hey, if the bus driver passes out, you're the one who's going to run up here and hit the stop button. Well,
yes.
Maybe I wouldn't be that pissed.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, okay, so what are you teaching them? I don't know. I want to find out. And if they were like, well, we taught them how to drive, I'd be like, oh,
that's
now I'm wild. Now I'm up in arms.
Yes. But if
it's
in a
first
parking
like,
lot
hey, this
war,
is where you stop it.
Yeah.
And this is how you open the door so everybody can get out in case the bus driver has a heart attack, I'd be like, well.
It's good to know those things.
Yeah, right.
And somebody just had to volunteer to get up there,
next
and they want a ton of volunteers.
I wouldn't be overly pissed then.
Yeah. So the mom says, if I didn't know that this was happening, that they were teaching kids to do this, then I got to think that other parents
Wookie
didn't know.
Wookie Cookie on our twitch.tv/Church Lazo says the bus drivers are getting a little loosey-goosey with that 4-day work week.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, hey, I'm about to take three-day work week because Alana's going to go ahead and get these little sons of bitches to school on Thursday.
Well, what's funny is that Snowcomb was reading me a quote earlier, and I know you sent him off, but he was reading me a quote earlier about, it was from the school district, that was basically saying, you know, look, we don't think, it sounds like, and I'm paraphrasing here, obviously, Fox Sports making kind of a big deal out of this. You don't need to focus too much on the fact that there was an accident. The bus slowly rolled and hit another bus. You know, let's not get bogged down with that. Let's not focus on, you make it sound like the kid was driving the bus and they got into an accident. And that's just not what happened. So they obviously do not like the attention that this has gotten. They think it's a non-story. But it does seem like every time I read a story about
So what has Fox
kids,
4 said now? They've said...
Well, they those quotes that I gave you is from... it's from them, and it's from the mom saying, I'm pissed, and I think other parents would probably be pissed, too.
And the Fox 4? Like, is there, like, a face for this? Someone on Fox 4, well, like, pissed? Like,
I don't know. I saw three... I saw the...
You know what I mean? Like, is there, like, a spokesman who's like, screw you, independence?
Like the... Like someone that works for Fox or something? I don't think so. I think they just reported on the story. This was my impression, at least, that they reported on the story, and then a couple other outlets pick it up, and that Independence was like, hey, why'd you have to go and do that? You didn't need to make this a story. Because it's not just a story now. It's a national story. I mean, like, look, the Latin Times. I'm just looking at different articles here. That thing that I was reading you was from Vice. Of course, they're mostly reporting on the Fox 4 story. But there's stories about it on websites from, you know, all different parts of the country. Because it makes for a crazy headline. A bus driver lets a 7-year-old learn what to do in case of emergency behind the wheel. And the bus... is in an accident.
Right.
You know, it rolled into another bus. I'm with you. Am I pissed? it sounds kind of stupid. Why did this happen?
Right.
Who was doing this? The bus drivers, nothing against bus drivers, but my bus drivers growing up, they were all retired people who just decided that they wanted some part-time work. Sure. And none of them were under 70. And they were very nice, and they seemed to, well, not even, I was going to say they're like kids. Some of them did. Some of them seemed to really be annoyed with kids, and then maybe they just wanted the part-time work. I don't know.
Right.
But these are not people that went to school most of the time, I wouldn't think, for child development and, you know, all these things. They got some sort of a CDL license, and they're allowed to drive kids around. That's it. There's not a whole lot of special training, so I don't think they need to be involved in teaching my kid what to do in an emergency. If the school needs to do that, or if the bus company wants to do that and they want to sponsor something like that, go ahead. But that should probably go through the school instead of you on the bus being like, hey, who wants to learn how to drive this thing in case I pass out? In case I, you know, you say medical emergency, but like you said.
Well, I guess the bus driver is the one who would tell them how to teach them how to drive it.
Right, but that should probably be up to her boss or someone or even the school to decide whether or not we're going to do this. If the bus
that the bus lady just did it on her own?
That's what it sounds like.
Oh, I thought maybe it was like, you know.
Now, look, maybe the school district was like, no, we're doing this for everyone, but they only mentioned this one bus, at least in this article that Snowcone sent me. So maybe it was happening on other buses and this is something they all do, but I never did this. Did you ever do anything like this on the bus? We never had any type of emergency, nothing. I remember when they added the little window breaker hammer. And I just saw it one day. And they're like, yeah, we had to get those. And it's for if we go underwater. But we were never instructed how to use it. The only thing we did as far as that stuff goes was the drunk driving thing in high school where they bring the car in, you drive the car and see what it's like to drive a car drunk. And then don't drink and drive on prom night.
Except for Kelly Joymer that one time.
Yeah, Kelly. What's she up to these days?
I don't know. Probably doing pretty well, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
She's one of those?
One of those.
Didn't peak then.
No.
She had a lot ahead of her. Man, those people, huh? Mm-mm. I guess I don't seem that often. They must end up in Independence.
It does take some getting used to.
The Church of Laszlo.
Okay, everybody just calm down.
On 98.9 The Rock.
Yo.
Yeah. Okay, so the most infamous criminals in sports history. They don't necessarily have to be athletes. Some of these people are just in sports, coaches, things like that. But you guys mentioned some of the big ones.
Man.
I know what I've been without even reading the text line. I have a feeling I know.
Well, Snowcone said that Tiger Woods was a bad person because he broke the vows of his marriage.
I don't think he's a bad person, but he broke the vows.
He broke
of his
the
marriage.
Vows of his marriage.
He did.
And me and the text line say he's brave.
He's
he
brave.
Wanted to cheat on his wife.
Mm-hmm. What's brave but he was, would be getting a divorce but, and then doing that.
Right. That would be on the scale of brave.
Spectrum.
On the spectrum of brave, getting a divorce and then going and having sex with someone you wanted to.
Yeah.
That would be brave. But it's also brave.
I agree.
To just have sex with the hostess at Denny's.
Yeah.
And not tell anybody, knowing
I agree.
That your wife could get mad at you.
I agree.
Yeah.
Taking a risk.
Yeah.
Except that you're actually, taking you said riding the ride yesterday was more brave
it
than
is.
Telling the person, hey, I don't want to
your wife would be more brave.
Yeah,
well,
divorcing
no,
your wife
then that
be
seems
brave.
To me like riding the ride in this instance would be having sex with the person, because then the equivalent
right.
would be, I quit. I don't want to do this.
You're right. He's actually more brave by just having sex.
No,
yes.
It doesn't work like that.
Why?
Of course it does.
It doesn't, because I said that. Yeah. It doesn't. What's more brave is divorcing your wife and then going back to Perkins and seeing what
that's not really taking a risk,
but that's not fun. He wants to.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be risky. That's why he likes it.
The brave part is the brave part is putting it all on the line. But either way,
he's brave.
If you cheat on your wife, you're brave.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about him anyway.
Yeah, according to you two, for sure.
What law did he break? Other than maybe driving under the influence?
Adultery isn't
no
legal.
I didn't see him on any of these lists. Like the guy at the bottom of this list is Allen Iverson. You know, you come through Plaxico Burress. Willie Akins, Pac-Man Jones. Okay, so who would be at the top of that list? Well, it's not necessarily
the bravest.
How many people did you kill? Or the bravest.
Right, who are the bravest sports athletes, what you're saying?
But you said O.J. earlier, and O.J. is very high on the list. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, I think he's number two.
I mean, he could have not killed his wife.
Right. But who do they have ahead of O.J.? Jerry Sandusky.
Oh,
see,
yes, of course.
You
yeah.
go, oh, right.
Yeah.
Any type of crime
of
against. Yeah, okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, I think this guy in the news today, if he counts, I don't know if he counts or not, he was an Olympic athlete, though. He competed in the Olympics. So it's not like he got close to the Olympics. And no, this guy was an Olympic athlete. And Now he's wanted by the FBI. Now he competed for Canada, so there's that, you know.
And Dirty Toilets fan club on our Twitch says, now that dude is brave.
Which one?
Sandusky.
Oh, Jesus.
Well, using snow cones.
Okay,
no,
I got gotcha. You.
Don't pull me into this. No.
Spectrum of bravery.
No, stop it.
So there's this guy in the news.
You do what you want, even though it could, you know, fall under public scrutiny.
No, do not pull me into this.
This guy's name that's in the news is Ryan Wedding. Ryan James Wedding.
Yeah.
He's a former Olympic snowboarder. Competed for Canada in the 2002 Salt Lake City Games. And he's wanted by the FBI.
He's a Canadian athlete?
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. It's Olympic snowboarding.
2002 Canada.
Right, doesn't count.
We're kind of pushing the line.
I know we are. But when you hear what this guy's wanted for, I mean, 8 felonies, just to give you an idea. He's charged with 8 felonies, including 2 counts of conspiracy to distribute controlled substances, 1 count of conspiracy to export cocaine, and 1 count of leading a continuing criminal enterprise, 3 counts of murder, 3 counts, OJ just had the one, right? 3 counts of murder, and 1 count of attempt to commit murder. Oh, yeah, he did kill 2 people.
Yep.
But this guy's got 3 plus
innocent.
He was found not guilty, not innocent.
All right, well.
Well, he's innocent now.
He's not guilty.
Listen to this guy's deal. This guy was running like an actual, allegedly.
Do you watch Tulsa King?
A full-on cartel.
Well, they have a whole episode of making fun of people like you. They're all sitting smoking pot, and they're like, and the one guy, this dork, is like, you found not guilty. And then Sly Stallone, they're all like, whatever, that's innocent. He's like, no, according to the law, that you have to watch it. Our argument,
because that's what
they redid
every
on the
time.
Tulsa King for like 15 minutes, because they're at the weed plant that he works at. Mm-hmm.
Every time with you two, it's the same back and forth argument.
Yeah.
Guilty, not innocent. Okay.
Whatever.
No one's found innocent. They're found not guilty.
So, anyhow.
Well, why is that a hill you want to die on? Why do you care? Why do you correct everybody?
He's so worried about OJ.
Like,
making sure we know.
Let me make sure everybody's got to be corrected.
Like you cracked this OJ.
Listen to correct information.
Listen to Slim's mom. No one cares what you know.
I want to make sure
everybody understood what we were talking about.
I'm trying to help.
Your help didn't change the story at all.
It's dangerous discourse.
Dangerous discourse. Okay. So this guy, Ryan Wedding, he's an athlete. Look, you're in the Olympics. And snowboarding, that was a real sport because of Sean What's-His-Face, right? He made it a real deal. So, yeah, you're Canadian, but he can't help that. And I'm sure he was still good, even though he competed for Canada. I mean, they got a lot of snow there.
I'm sure.
So, this guy, if you listen to what they're accusing him of, sounds like he was running a full-on international drug smuggling, almost a cartel.
Instead of using the privileges that come with being an Olympic athlete to do good for people, he did the opposite. He chose to become a major drug trafficker, and he chose to become a killer.
Federal prosecutors say that 43-year-old Wedding ran that criminal enterprise, bringing 60 tons of cocaine a year into the United States and Canada, making billions by moving it around using crypto.
Hold on, again, 60 tons. So he's bringing 60 tons of cocaine a year into the United States and Canada? And then how much money?
Tons of cocaine a year into the United States and Canada, making billions by moving it around using cryptocurrency and allegedly using killers to assassinate anyone who got in their way.
Okay, so billions of dollars being made here. How many tons? 60 tons
60.
A year that's being imported into the United States and Canada. So there's a good chance that your cocaine went through this guy's network.
Oh, nice.
I got to think. I mean, how many tons are we buying from? The way they charge for that stuff, you'd think we're all sharing the same kilo, right? So 60 tons seems like a lot.
Like a lot. I don't know how many kilos 60 tons is.
Who knows? But there's an equation somewhere. We don't know because you're mixing these things, you know. It's drugs and now. It's a lot. 60 tons is a lot. I'll tell you that much. And it's a lot of money's worth. I mean, billions of dollars that this guy was transferring through.
60,000 kilos.
60,000 kilos. And how long would a kilo last, Snow Cone?
Him?
Yeah.
How long
Thursday
last
night?
Me?
Yeah.
A week and a half?
No, stop. You couldn't get through a kilo in a week and a half. It would kill you, right?
No.
I mean, how would I know? How long does it take for the average person who's got a serious coke addiction to, you know, buy a kilo's worth? You're probably buying it, what? How do they sell coke? A gram by grams? They sell them in grams, right?
That's what I've heard.
Yeah, okay. So it would take you a long
time. Allegedly.
It would take you a long time to go through a kilo. Even if you did coke a lot. And this guy's getting 60,000, is that what you said, kilos? Was it 60,000?
Around that, yeah.
Around 60,000 kilos.
1,000 grams in a kilo.
Yeah.
2.2 pounds in a kilo.
And he's getting 60,000 kilos imported into this great continent, or at least the United States and Canada. 60,000
grams.
It's a lot of cocaine. Mm-hmm. And not only that, when they went to raid these guys' houses yesterday, I saw this footage. And I think the media was still trying to figure out exactly what was going on. The feds are there raiding this place, not unlike the images you saw from the P. Diddy raids. But they're looking at this house, and the media's like, why are they at DJ Khaled's house? Well, it turns out he used to live there. So I think that one of these people was renting this house, but I'm sure the media's like, who lives here? They go to look at the addresses, and they see that he used to live there. They thought they had a bigger, you know, celebrity on their hands, but still find out that this guy was an Olympic athlete, an Olympic snowboarder. There are, by the way, Olympic sports that you could participate in that would be even less qualifying. Like if you were a trap shooter or something.
Some could argue snowboarder. He's still playing in the snow.
Okay, snow cone. So, does it count? Do you add him to the list of most notorious criminals? No one knows the guy's name until today, right? But he was an athlete. I think snowboarding is big enough. Is Canada big enough?
No.
If Shaun White were caught up in this, we would say, yes, add Shaun White's name to the list of infamous sports criminals, right? But because he's Canadian, that's why, because he just wasn't a big enough star. I don't know. I look at some of these names, and I think maybe there's a place for him on here. Certainly, if you look at these crimes, you got Mike Vick, Fighting Dogs. They've got Mike Vick at number 3 on the list that Complex put out. They're going to just below OJ. So you got child rapist, you got wife murderer, you've got dog fighter. Okay, this guy, if these things are true, is orchestrating multiple homicides and helping to run this massive drug smuggling operation. That's pretty big. Pretty big. I think he might be the biggest, unless you can come up with somebody bigger. I looked through these, and I'm like, I don't think any of these known cases that I can look at. Ray Kruth.
Ray Kruth's pretty bad. He killed his pregnant girlfriend.
Yeah, that's bad. But now you're talking about multiple murders with this other person.
Jovan Belcher? Remember Jovan Belcher?
The murder-suicide, right? Isn't that what it was? Yeah, but again, if you're just going, okay, well, now this guy's, he's been charged with 3, plus an attempted, plus the smuggling, right? This is big time. Big time. I just wonder what happens.
It feels less to me.
Because of the personal aspect of it?
He didn't know him.
Right.
He was just trying to sell some drugs.
In the drug business, probably.
You were getting in his way.
He was trying to sell some drugs,
right.
Called Mr. M says Chris Benoit.
Chris Benoit, he might be the biggest.
That's a good one.
Murdered he killed his wife and kids.
Yeah. But this guy is, and I'm not saying.
Hernandez still big, but not wife and kids.
But also, are we just not including the part where this guy's alleged to have been smuggling 60,000
kilos? Yeah, that's no big deal.
No, that isn't, that's not.
The drug thing, no, that's not. I mean, drugs are drugs, whatever.
But this is like you're like a real legitimate
criminal.
There's a real
legitimate drug.
You're living in the criminal underworld.
But, you know, what would you rather your brother do?
Of course,
kill his wife and kids, or you find out he was a drug kingpin?
Right. I get what you're saying.
Of course.
One is defendable.
Yeah.
The other is not.
Right.
So,
let's go with Chris Benoit. I think it's Chris Benoit.
Okay. You know, interestingly,
he's Canadian also.
On the top 10 here. Oh, there you go. See, these Canadians.
They might not consider him an athlete. Could be an entertainer.
That could be. Maybe that's why.
Right.
Yeah. I like that FBI agent saying, instead of using the good that he could, you know, doing good with his celebrity from being an Olympic.
Right.
I'm like, yeah, what good was he going to do?
Yeah,
I'm going to go open up local car dealers.
He's not, exactly. He's not, no, I don't even think he's big enough to
do
that.
I'm going to go Sandusky.
Sandusky has number one on this list, and I think he's earned it.
Yeah.
Right? Just,
yeah,
just
trying to find other people, and Benoit's bad, Caruso's bad, but
it's murdering kids. Murdering kids, and I get it. It's a murder-suicide thing. This was like with Sandusky, though, it was that systemic. Like, it was an ongoing thing, right?
Well, yeah, he started a children's foundation and raped them. Like,
doesn't
he's
get worse than that.
Jopa knew about, or?
No, we don't know.
I'm asking.
It seemed like he may have
turned
a blind eye a few times. That it looked that way, but we don't know. They put Lawrence Taylor on here, but I'm not.
We can't put the greatest linebacker of all time on there.
Exactly, that's ridiculous.
More from the pulpit coming up. The Church of Laszlo.
Preach, brother!
On 98.9 The Rock.
The old Nazi rule.
What's that?
I've told you my Nazi rule.
Yeah, you can punch one. You like to punch Nazis.
I'm just saying
that... You think it's okay to physically attack people with different political ideologies.
Yeah, that's
right. What you think.
Yes.
It's Nazi.
Yeah.
Well, so, I mean, of any political ideology.
No. There's an unspoken rule that if you're going to live in a country with free speech, free that you can burn your own flag or that of you course. Can wear a swastika down the street, that in that country, which I want to live in, that in that country, if you wear that swastika, if you wear that Nazi stuff, that someone might punch it and that your peers, if they end up on that jury... Might
is
let
that the only
the
political ideology that you're allowed to punch?
Nazi's just the one that I think is...
But are there any others that you feel like it's okay to...
Just go with Nazi for now. I don't
okay.
know. I mean, it's people know what the symbolism means. There's really no excuse for it, okay. right?
I'm just curious of what political ideologies fit into your being
thing.
Able to counter with physical violence. That's
more
my question.
It's not about attacking people with political...
Well, it is.
It's about... Well, right, but I'm saying the Nazi rule, I use Nazi specifically because it's about free speech.
Right.
And yes,
and you don't like it if you believe that you're allowed to physically attack someone who has different political ideology than you and chooses to voice those.
Okay. Well, anyhow...
In a peaceful manner. You say it's okay then to physically attack them. I'm just asking. I don't have any answers for you.
If someone's wearing Nazi stuff, they shouldn't be surprised if they get punched.
Then you can punch them.
Me?
Yeah, anybody.
Yeah, I'm saying if someone punches them, I'm not mad at that person for punching them. And if I'm on your jury there for assault, I'm going to say, yeah, no, you didn't do anything
wrong. Do you promote that type of physical aggressiveness?
No, I just use it as an example to talk
about. I'm just asking if you promote it, though.
No.
You think people should? Like, if you see a Nazi, would you say, punch them?
I don't know. I'm just saying that's the free speech world. People say, well, if you have absolute free speech, then what about this and this? And I think Americans have had ways of...
Physical violence. To shut down people that spout political ideologies that we don't agree with.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
So what do you do when some Nazis come to
kill
eat...
Kill them, apparently.
Come to eat lunch at, you know, a little mom-and-pop diner in Massachusetts. What do you do?
Feed them?
Of course. So if you're the owner of this restaurant, you're like, hey, guys, how are you? No problem with the uniforms.
Well, I'm not saying that. I disagree with
you. I'm saying you're going to allow them to eat there, though, and all that. You don't say, hey, I don't like the Nazi stuff. You can't. I own this place. I'm just asking you now. I mean, as the owner of this restaurant, if you're like, I don't like Nazis. I know you like the Nazi stripper. I remember you liked her.
I do like a Nazi stripper.
Yeah. She was pretty.
Yeah, I know.
She was pretty. I mean, look, I get it. She was good looking. A lot of Nazi stuff she had tattooed up and down her legs.
She did.
A lot of it. Anyhow, I'll tell you.
I'd rather, I think given the choice of making love to a Nazi or physically abusing a Nazi, I would make love to one.
Oh, okay. So that's like, isn't one of those designers like Chanel number 5? Didn't one of those designers end up sleeping with a Nazi
so she
wouldn't
get
killed? So she claims.
Yeah.
You know, well, they took over my country. What do you want me to do? Yeah. All right, well, I'll tell you, this actually happened. Some Nazis go out to eat.
Well, they're not allowed to eat anymore?
Well, I'll tell you in a sec.
The Church of Laszlo. On 98.9 The Rock.
I do like a Nazi stripper.
We know you do. We've been over this.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just a fan.
I know. She was definitely a Nazi.
As a Jewish guy, you like to dominate a Nazi that way.
She was a Nazi.
You like that?
Yeah,
Nazi bitch.
Semite, for sure.
Right? Yeah.
She had a lot of imagery.
But as a Semite.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. She seemed really into it. I just hope she had one of those American History X style arcs where she, met some people and changed her way of thinking and came around and maybe befriended a Jewish person or I don't know. Whoever else the Nazis hated, I think they hated a lot of people. But I think the Jews were their main target.
I don't think they liked the Jews.
No, I don't think they did at all. Well, some Nazis, were they Nazis? They're dressed fully as Nazis, walked into a restaurant in the Boston area a couple days ago. Turns out they're part of the American Heritage Museum World War II reenactment.
Mm.
So just like the Civil War reenactors, I guess there's World War II reenactors. I did not know this.
Sure.
If you say reenacting war, Civil War, seen it. I've been dragged to those things on vacations. I haven't seen the other reenactments.
Revolutionary War, they do that.
Yeah, maybe the same thing.
I feel like they do that in Boston or something.
As a kid that they were different. Like, was this the same? They're kind of dressed similar.
Yeah.
I guess that could be a sign of my education, but maybe I never actually saw Revolutionary War reenactment. I definitely saw the Civil War ones. Because he had those gray uniforms, he had the blue uniforms, and then the guys in the gray uniforms, you found out, like, no, they're not, like, given these by some sort of museum. They buy these, they make these, they put these together, they practice these. And the Civil War guys tended to, or the Confederate guys tended to stay.
Wild pitch.
Confederate guys, they didn't, like,
switch.
I know,
we watched this behind, so, but.
So, anyhow, there's apparently World War II reenactments as well. And this group was part of this American Heritage Museum. So they do this reenactment. Mm-hmm. And after the reenactment, a group of them go out to eat at this place called Kith and Kin Restaurant, which is in Hudson, Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of the actors are wearing full Nazi uniforms. And now the restaurant is facing some backlash because of it. The owner says that they had to temporarily close the restaurant because of threats that they were receiving to their workers. Which, I guess that would be me, like, hey,
yeah,
what are you doing? Why are
feeding
these people
Nazis,
here? Why are you feeding Nazis?
And you're like, why
you better
I
be spitting
you?
In their food.
Right.
Yeah, why aren't you punching
this
these Nazis?
This guy's like, I'm just trying to run a business here.
Well, he had to temporarily shut down because of this. But the restaurant's saying, hey, you probably should have been a little more aware. Like, you're wearing the full Nazi uniform, and you're just going to go out and have some lunch afterwards. Maybe a change would have been good. Instead, people don't necessarily know that you were just part of this super dorky reenactment thing. They don't know that. So they just see people sitting there in Nazi uniforms trying to get a Reuben. They think, what's going on here?
Yeah.
Why are there Nazis at this restaurant in Hudson?
It's at a time when acts of anti-Semitic violence are on the rise, when neo-Nazis have taken to the streets. The Holocaust continues to be denied. So wearing German uniforms in a public space, that's beyond thoughtless. That's repugnant. It does not exist off the field, which is why there is strict protocols that the American Heritage Museum has regarding what to wear, when to wear it, how to wear it. And clearly that protocol was violated.
Okay, so
yeah,
here's my question for you.
Well, plus I think those people picked the Nazi side.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask. With the Confederates, we know that they usually do, right? They're I'm picking this side. I made this uniform.
Sure.
I always fight on the Confederate side. I have rebel pride, whatever. Now, knowing that there's World War II reenactments in the United States and there's Nazis, are those people picking to be Nazis? Are they like, I want that Nazi uniform?
And they're wearing
uniform?
It out. They know
right.
And they're giving themselves plausible deniability.
Exactly.
So they're like, oh, I was just wearing this because I'm in a reenactment. But, you know, you're in a... There's a lot of things you dress up for in plays you don't go to dinner for.
Right.
Right?
You don't dress up as Shrek,
like,
the musical, and you just go out as Shrek.
I mean, you can, but I just think people change.
Yeah.
You know, you dress up like the Wicked Witch of the West.
Right.
I'm sure you don't go out in full garb and just grab, you know.
Do you think it was like plausible
tuna sandwich
deniability for them? Like, they
that's
wanted to,
said.
But if you...
That's what I said. Plausible deniability.
But do you think they're thinking that, like,
yes.
They'll just say, like, oh, no, we're just part
exactly.
of
this. Exactly, yes.
Yes, okay. That they might like being the Nazis.
Of course, but
that
if
they
anybody
like
calls
that they
them,
they
oh, we're just, this is just part of what
no,
we do,
of course. We're historians. That they like that they own Nazi uniforms. I don't know that they own them. Maybe the uniforms are given to them by the museum in this
instance. Whatever, they like going out.
The point is, I think they might like it. It's like the person at the antique store who's got the booth that sells all the Nazi stuff. It's just filled with all that Nazi crap, and you go, okay, so it's one thing to be into World War II, but you specifically have all this Nazi stuff.
Yeah.
That person tends to be, you know, oh, no, I'm just fascinated by this stuff. Are you, or are you a Nazi?
Yeah.
Because you could sell other things from World War II, but you choose to just sell all this Nazi stuff. Same with the reenactors. Now, look, maybe there aren't a lot of people who volunteer to be Nazis. Maybe some of them do actually have to take turns and say, okay, I'll be the Nazi this time, because they don't want to. But the guys who leave the Nazi uniform on and then go out to get lunch at a diner, they might be Nazis. I'm not saying they are. I'm just saying they might be. The percentage of people that participate in, what are they called? Civil War reenactments.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say the percentage of those who are dressed as Confederate soldiers are, that take part in those reenactments, that are Confederate sympathizers? It's probably over 80%, right? If not, maybe even like 100%. So I don't think it's that crazy to say that maybe these guys dress up like Nazis.
Might
be Nazis.
I agree.
They might like the Nazis.
They certainly did it for a reason.
Right, and so then...
I think if I was dressed like a Nazi, if I was in a play with Nazis, and I'm the Nazi,
yeah,
you know,
and you go out afterwards.
I go out afterwards. I'm like, oh, I'll take this Nazi thing.
Right.
Yeah.
So, what if this happens? What if this these Nazis are eating at this diner, and somebody sees these Nazis, and they walk by, and they just sucker punch them.
Like, I don't like punching people for different political ideologies.
I know you don't. I know you don't. But you see what I'm saying, Sonko? Now,
I'm with you.
I'm saying, hey, you can punch a Nazi. I get it. A lot of angry. They killed 6 million people. You can punch them. But then the person says, oh, I'm just a reenactor. I work for the museum. Yeah, you shouldn't have wore it out.
Well, you wore a swastika.
Shouldn't have wore it out. Shouldn't have worn it to the diner. You're telling me you couldn't take that off?
So now you're saying if you go to a museum and somebody's wearing a...
No, if they wear it out afterwards.
But can you punch them at the museum?
No. They do have the plausible deniability. But if they wear it to the diner, that plausible deniability is over.
Just punch them.
Yeah, that expectation for me to understand is gone.
I don't know all the rules, so just go ahead and punch them.
Go ahead.
More Church of Laszlo on the way.
The Church of Laszlo on 98.9 The Rock.
Yo.
That's it.
Well, that was fun, buddy.
Yep, you going to win big money tonight?
I'm going to try. I'm on my way.
Okay, well...
Did you bet on the baseball games at all?
Yes, I did.
What do you got?
Same stuff that I've always got. Actually, I spread it out a little. But I always do with the baseball games, I do the winning margin. So just kind of take a look at those odds and go, which one looks the juiciest? I think for the Dodgers game, it was either team if you pick by 3 runs. Those both pay pretty well. But I just like to mix it up and I hope that on Monday I have more money than I did.
I got Ohtani, 2 total bases. Lindor, 2 total bases. Winker to get a hit. Mookie Betts to get a hit. And Tommy Edman to get a hit.
I also bet that...
That is plus 1307.
I also bet that... who is it? Purdue?
Purdue would beat Oregon.
But they're actually
going
to beat them straight up. It pays so well, Laszlo. You said
if they win, I will be shocked.
Yeah.
But I would
love it. As
will
the casino, but it would be great.
I have Purdue plus 30.5.
Okay, well, that's probably, a little safer bet, but we'll see.
And I'm still worried about that.
I know. I shouldn't have put that stupid money, but it gives you something to do tonight, right?
Yeah.
Game starts at 7 o'clock, so.
Hey, I'm going to say this, but I'd love to hear that Spanish edition again if we could before we get out of here. But good show, big Christmas. Stay positive, kids.
Take some getting used to.
The Church of Laszlo.
Okay, everybody just calm down.
On 98.9 The Rock.